Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Atlanta United gives up a goal in the 89th minute to Toronto. I would argue again, maybe even a little bit against the run of play, and they fall tonight 1-0. It's really, really frustrating to see that happen because really frustrated. That is a match where Atlanta United felt like they were destined to get at least a point, maybe three. It was a Toronto team that was shorthanded, clearly exhausted. Pozuelo in the second half was rather anonymous. But Richie Larea puts in a cross that may or may not have been touched by George Bello, maybe just the slightest touch on it that changed the spin on the ball. And then Pablo Piatti basically redirects it into the net with a very soft glancing header. And it's so disappointing to me because I don't feel like Toronto was better tonight. I'm not saying Atlanta was good, but I don't think Toronto was better. That's what I'm stuck on tonight, I guess.
Yeah, this is what's the wild ride of a 90-minute match, because coming in, we thought that an Atlanta win would be a big surprise. A draw would have been a great hope. At halftime, we have a different tune because Toronto's really struggled. They've had to pull Osorio at that point. They look tired. Then you start to see Moreno and Barco coming in at halftime. It's like, okay, this feels like there's 3 points here for the taking. At a minimum, you're going to get a point. That's what it felt like as the second half is going on. It feels like, okay, maybe it's not coming together quite the way you would hope, but you're controlling the play. You're looking more dangerous. Again, you're going to come out of here with a point at minimum. And when we talked about this a few weeks ago, this playoff picture, the two wins at home that you have to have are going to be a little more difficult now. DC United with a win over Cincinnati tonight, they're fighting for Chad Ashton, their interim manager. Things look a little different in our nation's capital. Cincinnati had shown a little bit of promise. Now you have to wonder what's going on with them. Neither one of those matches will be easy, and you have to have those. You have to have wins in those, or there's no way you're making the postseason. We kind of had a suspicion, and the Chicago result yesterday probably makes it a little more sure that you needed something against three of the best teams in the Eastern Conference on the road. Maybe just 1 point would be enough. Yeah. You've got two more opportunities against Orlando and against Columbus to see this thing out, to go along with those home games. You're going to need something out of one of those road games.
Maybe that's why I'm nauseous over this, because I thought, like, okay, you get that point tonight. You were good enough to get a point. Oh, now you've got maybe just the slightest bit of cushion, slightest bit of breathing room. I just don't like the prospect. And, again, I don't want to assume home wins over D.C. and Cincinnati.
No.
Because both teams are playing better.
Yep.
But even if they got those, man, I do not want to go into decision day having to get a result in Columbus to make the playoffs. You could get that result in Orlando. But the other problem, too, Jason, is, I mean, we're looking at it as probably 7 points would get you in. But the two teams above you on the table right now, Nashville on 21 points and Chicago on 20, Nashville's got two games in hand, and Atlanta and Chicago has one game in hand. So right now, Atlanta United, with four matches to play, does not control its own destiny. Atlanta United could win out, and it seems unlikely, but they could win out and not make it. I don't think that will happen, but that's kind of the danger spot you're in right now. Lots of time to sort this out. I mean, there's still 3 weeks left in the season. There's plenty of time to sort all this out. But that's why you would have liked to have gotten a result here tonight. It would have given you that breathing room that now you do not have. Man of the match brought to you by Heineken. Jason was trying to console me during the break, so we didn't really have a chance to talk about this much. Do you have any thoughts on man of the match?
Wow.
I'll defer to you.
It's kind of a tricky one when you look at it, because I don't feel like anybody played exceedingly poorly. I don't know if anyone really stood out. I'll give it to Miles Robinson this time, because you're looking at 5 clearances from him, tackles, interceptions, etc. He was very involved. He stepped up, tried to lead the team a little bit towards the end. Let's give it to Miles.
All right, Miles Robinson, man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. Steven Glass has begun his post-game press conference.
Okay, you should be good now, Doug.
Sorry. Hey, for lack of a better way of asking it, just how disappointing was the result and the way the result happened tonight?
Massively, because I think the performance level of the players and the work rate, they deserved a lot more out of the game. I think everybody can see the performance level they put in tonight was incredible against one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference and probably one of the top teams in the country. So the guys can be happy with that. Obviously, we're very disappointed not to get 1 or 3 points, but I think if we continue that performance level in the games that we have left, hopefully we'll be well situated come playoff time.
Next question, Felipe. Go ahead.
Good evening, Stephen. Yeah, I can tell. I mean, it was a devastating result for Atlanta United. They did what they had to do. Certainly in the first half, when you brought on Marcelino, Barco, Rosetto, so you went for the win there. What was the plan, though? What was the second half plan, and how did you use those subs? What was the result that you expected to get?
Don't you ever expect a result when you're playing a team like Toronto? The result we were hoping for was a win. I think it'd be fair to say we were in control of the game. I think we had the bulk of the possession, it felt like. We felt like we controlled their dangerous players in the positions that we wanted them to be in. We planned on negating the ball going into Pozuelo, into Piatti, and behind our midfield line. I think we did it very well. I think Remedy and Mo Adams were fantastic in the middle of the pitch. The centre-halves were great. Full-backs were good in the main. We're going for a win. So that's what we're always going to do. Obviously, we would have liked a point, and I think we fully deserve one.
Next question, back to Doug.
Hey, Steven, the team had just one shot on goal for the third consecutive game. Will Barco and Moreno, assuming they're going to start to be able to play together more consistently now, alleviate the team's issues creating quality chances?
You would hope so. Yeah, I think we've played the bulk of the season without the designated players, without the top quality guys at the club that we know they are. And we continue to miss Joseph, who's the best striker in the country. So I think fixed a lot of the issues that were issues, and now we're getting the top guys back on the pitch. But I also think we are playing against top teams, so it's never going to be easy to score goals, make goals. And I think we have looked dangerous in most of the games, and it's obviously unfortunate we don't manage to score a goal tonight, but I don't think you can take away from the performance level of the players tonight.
Go back to Felipe. Go ahead.
Steven, how would you categorize perhaps just the confidence level of Kubo Torres right now? I mean, as we know, like when the goal kind of closes on a striker, it can be tough on them. But sometimes it's just a matter of getting one. It doesn't matter how it goes in, it just has to go in. Is he clearly he's probably frustrated, but what is that like? Where's his confidence level right now, if you don't mind sharing?
I'm sure his confidence level is very high. He's a top professional. He's a centre forward that knows it goes with the territory that you sometimes don't score for a little bit. I wouldn't say he's particularly missed fantastic chances recently. Obviously, when he was in the team at first, there was two or three chances we're feeling he should have scored, and he feels that himself. But the chance tonight, he's got good movement in the box. It's difficult because the position of the cross to get enough pace on it. And he did really well to get the pace on it that he did. That was an issue with Kubo's confidence, and I think that's why he's a top player that he is. So I'm sure he's going to be fine. He gets to score, he'll be able to take him and help the team win the games.
Okay, Stephen Glass with his post-match remarks from East Hartford after his team's 1-0 loss. Calls it massively disappointing because he felt like they were going for the win and were in control of the match. Cannot disagree with any of that. I feel the same disappointment that he does.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. The last point about Kubo Torres is a huge issue with this team that just cannot be ignored. You're missing Joseph Martinez. That's a fact. It's been there all year. You don't have a lot of confidence in the final third. This is a team that needs to be more decisive in the final third. They're struggling to do that. It feels like if you can get one, you can unlock things going forward. If it's Kubo, if it's Moreno, if it's Barco, if it's Dom, if it's Gallagher getting on a little bit of a run again, you need somebody to put this team on their back in the final third and show a little more confidence. It'll open everything up. Everything else was there most of the night tonight.
Final stats, shots were 11-6 Toronto, six of them on target for TFC, one for Atlanta United. Possession was 50-50, although in the second half it was 56-44 Atlanta United. Corners were 6-2 Atlanta United. Duels were 50-50, how about that? And both teams passed at 85%, how about that? I mean, statistically an even match aside from the shot total and the shots on target. But the only statistic, of course, that matters is the goals. And Toronto had one. Atlanta United had none. We will come back and have the highlights for you right after this of the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, back live of the full-time report. Atlanta United loses at the death tonight to Toronto 1-0 in a match they controlled, in a match that, as you heard Stephen Glass say, they were going for the win, and it felt like the win was there for the taking. But I don't want to call it a fluky goal, but a little bit of an odd goal by Toronto right at the very end by Pablo Piatti gets them the win. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $10,000. Here are the highlights. They really all came in the second half. Atlanta United's best scoring opportunity came after a series of substitutions right at the one-hour mark. Now, remember, at halftime, Marcelino Moreno and Ezequiel Barco came in, and then Stephen Glass brought in both Kubo Torres and Brooks Lennon, and they combined here to produce Atlanta United's best scoring opportunity of the match. Moreno at the halfway line, dropping it back now to Rometty. Rometty cuts it into center circle to Mo Adams. Back to Anton Walks behind the halfway line, approached by Jaden Nelson. He's going to pitch up to Lennon, and it falls into his run in the far corner. Lennon dribbling on Aro with fresh legs now. Lennon to the end line. Cross, penalty spot, header! Saved off the line! Kubo Torres denied by Westberg. What a save! Out it goes for a corner. It was point blank, and it was about as good an opportunity as you can get. It was about as good a save as Quentin Westberg could possibly make.
Yeah, great save by Westberg, not just to make the initial save, but to not give up a clean rebound either. He reacted very, very quickly. Kubo doesn't get it far enough into the corner. Kubo's still trying to regain sharpness after he was getting there. Then you had the knee injury. Now he's played a couple of times. You really need a confident Kubo Torres and a healthy Kubo Torres for these last four games, because you need a presence up top that you lacked in the first half. you got with Kubo Torres's inclusion, it still wasn't enough.
Still, after that, felt like, and the second half possession numbers kind of prove, Atlanta United was still in control of the match. So this goal in the 89th minute by Pablo Piatti pretty much came against the run of play, and it was the only goal of the match. So it's a free kick off the far touchline for Toronto. Taken quickly, played up to Nelson. Back to Bradley now, who will cut it back to Simon at the halfway line. Simon rolls it down the middle where it rolls to De Leon. Picks out Larea now, wide open on the right wing. Dribbling land Bello. Larea to the edge of the box. Larea's crossed the penalty spot, and it rolls in off Piatti for a goal! You have got to be kidding me! In the 89th minute! Oh, no! I'm still not quite sure if Bello may have just gotten the slightest of touches to put that into Piatti's head where he was able to glance it in.
Yeah, it's just that close. That Bello nearly made the right tackle there. He lunges in after Larea got him leaning. It's just a cross you can't allow to come in, even if it does take a deflection. It's brilliant from Piatti. It's brilliant from Piatti because he doesn't try to do too much with it. He knows he's not going to get a lot of power. It's just a glance. It's just a look. It's just a little bit of a touch to put it into that far side that, I mean, it's off the inside of the post. There's no way Brad Kazan's getting there. Brilliant from Piatti. Maybe a little fortunate with the deflection, but Larea did win the 1v1 that he had to win, and Bello didn't win the one that he had to win.
Toronto, really in one moment, better than Atlanta United tonight, and that was the difference, a 1-0 win by Toronto, which moves them now to 41 points and one step closer to the number one seed and home field throughout the playoffs, although we don't really know where that home field would be. Remember, no supporter shield this year, but Toronto also closing in on the benefits that would come with the supporter shield winner, which would be an automatic CONCACAF Champions League berth. Remember, they are not in the Voyagers Cup, right? Is that Montreal, or I'm trying to remember now. Are they in the Voyagers Cup final? Or are they
yes,
not?
They are.
They are. All right, well, then they may get it that way. In which case, that would put the second-place team, currently Philadelphia, into the CONCACAF Champions League next year. Because remember, the second-place team, which, or I don't even know now. Like, well, now help me out, Jason, because it was going to be Shield winner, and then the winner of the opposite conference, that spot went to the MLS's back tournament champion, which
right.
is Portland. So
it should be the Shield winner. It should be the MLS Cup winner.
Okay.
We don't know about the Open Cup because it didn't happen. That hasn't been announced. Well, we really don't know.
Atlanta United holds that trophy, so put them in as far as I'm concerned. Anyhow, Toronto looks like they have two paths in to the CONCACAF Champions League right now, and this could be one of them. Everything, of course, is better when Atlanta United wins. To date, a total of $5,000 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare as a not-for-profit hospital system. Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United, proud to be a Piedmont donor. Okay, we'll take your questions and your comments on Twitter right after this. Send them in at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe. And we'll get to that on the full-time report right after this as Atlanta United falls to Toronto tonight, 1-0 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That should be it. That is it. Full time.
This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, back live on the Full Time Report. Atlanta United falling at the death tonight to Toronto up in Hartford, Connecticut. 1-0, a goal by Pablo Piatti. Look, we're sports fans. We understand there is another Atlanta sporting event going on right now. We're watching it. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, Jason and Miller Pope and I are on the edge of our seats. Tyler Matzik just got a big strikeout. Max Muncy with the bases loaded in the bottom of the – it's only the fourth inning, now top of the fifth, 3-2 Braves leading in Game 7 of the NLCS. So we'll give you another update before we sign off tonight. This has been – quite a ball game, and it was quite a match tonight in Toronto. Let's get to your questions and comments now on Twitter, presented by TCL, the official smartphone partner of Atlanta United. And we know a lot of you are not listening to us right now. So for those of you who are sending us comments, many people will be listening on a podcast on Off the Woodwork. So, you know, for you, we're going to answer these comments for you. Abby Schiffman, seems the defense was flat, not covering man-to-man, jogging back. Does point out that Bello did have a good match.
Well, I think Abby's talking about the sequence at the very end, which is a part of it. We've zeroed in on the Bello-Larea part. And, look, I don't think Bello gets a pass even if he gets a touch here because he lost a 1v1 in a crucial point. He's a young player. He's won many 1v1s during his time. He didn't win that one. He's going to win plenty more going forward. This is something that he will benefit from. You can't let that cross come in. But Piatti does get the opportunity. And this is where Toronto can be very difficult, especially at that point in the match, because they're not really playing with a focal point as a striker. It's Alejandro Pozuelo up top. You know, he's going to drop in. He's going to drift around. Piatti's going to jump in there and take that space. He's not really playing like a wide player at that point. Miles Robinson was the closest one to Piatti, but Piatti's not the number nine there. So it's kind of an awkward situation all the way around, and that's where Toronto and their talent can make it difficult for you in matchup situations. Robinson didn't close down to Piatti. He didn't get any help from Adams or Hosetu. Bello doesn't win the 1v1, and what looked like a game where you're going to take something home out of it, you don't.
Yeah, and
sometimes it comes down to those moments.
It does. Edmund Gibson says, gut-wrencher there at the death. Love the – oh, my goodness. Freddie Freeman just robbed of a home run. Let's start again. Edmund Gibson, gut-wrencher there at the death. Look, I don't know what to tell you, folks. It's game seven. Kevin Egan is listening. He just sent me a text. Thank you, Kevin. Let's focus for Kevin because he's listening. Edmund Gibson says, gut-wrencher there at the death. What? Did he really catch that? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's try a third time. Focus, Mike. Edmund Gibson, gut-wrencher there at the death. Love the fight tonight. Dom was torching TFC in the first half. Yes, he was. Barco and Moreno look good and seem to already have really good chemistry with each other and Bello. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Moreno and Barco was interesting here. It's two guys who haven't played together. It's two guys who probably haven't trained together very much. I mean, we're going to have this happen a lot the rest of the way. You're going to have guys on the field together who really don't have much of a relationship with one another. Moreno was the one that it felt like the second half, he was constantly not able to play as fast as he would have liked because he has to get his head up to see where his teammates are. He doesn't know instinctually what run Kubo Torres is going to make or where Barco's going to pop up. It was good first steps. It was good first steps in that relationship. But you got to skip forward very quickly. And that's going to be hard to do. At least you get the training sessions this week to do it.
Yeah, I asked Glassy on Friday what his plan would be for this week. And he said that there is a plan to give everyone a day off probably on Tuesday. A lot of people don't realize this. The day after a match, even a road match, you have got to come in for a COVID test. So everyone will be in tomorrow. They'll do the COVID test and I guess a little bit of regen. And then it sounds like the plan would be day off at least on Tuesday. And then, you know, fortunately, you do have a home match coming up this weekend. So if it's a day off Tuesday, you could train Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
That's two full sessions. Friday right. won't be a hard session. Monday will be a session for the guys who didn't get onto the field today. For players who didn't play 90, if they can get something in, they will tomorrow. You'll get that done. Wednesday, Thursday are where you've got to make up a lot of ground in that relationship building.
Kefsey says, good effort from the team, especially Adams and Mesa. I thought Mesa was extremely good, by the way, to Kefsey's
good.
Point. Says, they made us proud. Tough not to get the result. And he says, I don't like the disrespect to Jake to not get his call.
And the I one trust, late in the first half.
Right.
Yeah.
And I trust Miles knows what he's doing talking to Fotis.
Yeah, on the Piatti situation. When we saw the replay, it didn't look like there was anything in it. Piatti and Greg Vanney might have talked the referee crew into one there. I have to go back and see it to see where Bazakos was because it was a little delayed. It feels like there was some conversation that led to that call being made. Ultimately, it didn't lead to much except for the yellow to Robinson, which could put him in a yellow card accumulation issue down the road, and there's four games left. He could see that happen. The Mulroney one on the replay, it looked like it was a slightly heavy touch for him, but Omar Gonzalez makes contact with him and brings him down. That was Mulroney's best sequence. You needed more from Mulroney as a whole. Meza was good. You've got questions now in this last four as to what your lineup is.
Wow. Hey, you talk about some options with your center backs right now.
Across the board, you've got some options.
But, I mean, this is tough for Glassy because, I mean, it feels like Miles Robinson is in for sure. I mean, he's not losing his
spot.
But boy, oh boy, I mean, Walks has been an excellent center back partner for him. Meza has not played frequently, but every time he has played, he's been extremely solid. I still think, I like what you have suggested on Soccer Down Here a few times, try Meza as a six. And maybe you go with either Miles and Franco Escobar at center back or Miles and Anton Walks at center back and have Meza potentially as a six.
Potentially. It's going to be tough. Are we going to take Kevin Egan's question?
Yeah, we are. In fact, let's just roll into Kevin's question right now.
I wanted to make sure. He didn't tweet it at us, was the rules.
But we're on the topic. Kevin wants to know, if everyone stays healthy during the week, what would the starting forward line look like? And that does play into a little bit the situation with Franco Escobar. That is the domino. One of the big dominoes that kind of dictates, okay, is Jürgen Damm going to be on the right wing if Escobar is a center back? Or, if Escobar plays right wing back, what do you do with Brooks Lennon? That's kind of one of the big dominoes that I think dictates how that forward line looks.
Yeah. Kevin, next time tweet your question to us for the rest of the class. But we will get into this and we'll work from the front to the back. So if everyone is healthy, if you are good to go, everyone with the exception of Joseph Martinez, obviously. Kubo Torres up top. Ezequiel Barco on the left. Moreno and Hyndman are your two more eights here in the midfield. And Jürgen Damm on the right. I think that is your most dangerous group going forward. That means you need five behind them. Right now, I think it's Jeff Lorenowitz. If we would have seen Meza as a six, I think we would have seen it by now. We haven't, so you go with Jeff as the six. Then, for me, the best group to make this team dangerous, not just defensively, but also to get forward, it's Bello on the left, it's Robinson and Escobar, again, assuming everybody's healthy, and Brooks Lennon at right back. Because that gives you Lennon and Bello who can get forward. That gives you Dom and Barco, who we've seen both of them track back. We saw both of them track back plenty tonight. So you've got the wings that are both dangerous, left and right. You've got two center backs in Robinson and Escobar who are good with the ball, who can both step up and be an additional man going forward. You've got Jeff Lorenowitz who can hold everything down. He can cover for one of those center backs when they go. You've got a lot of flexibility with that group. I think, assuming everybody's healthy, assuming you can manage these next four games with a good bill of health, that's your best 11.
The other tricky element, though, is healthy and 90 minutes fit are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking during a break. I said, boy, this team really needs to get 90 minutes out of Jürgen Damm. It might just not be possible. It might not be possible to get 90 minutes out of Marcelino Moreno, at least not in the next week or two.
It's going to be tough because Moreno's still trying to get match fit. Dom and Torres are just back from injuries. Barco's just back from injury. You've got the match on the weekend on Saturday. Then you go to Orlando midweek. Then you come back for another home match. The home matches are your more sure three-pointers. Those are the ones that I think you have to get your three. If you don't get 6 points out of your home matches, I don't think you can make the postseason unless you go steal something to make up for it. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about two of the top teams in the East that you got to steal points in their house. It's not going to be easy. You can't sacrifice the home matches to try to get three against Orlando in the midweek. That's the tricky one for me.
You're playing for the weekends right now, it seems.
I think you have to.
Yeah. Jorge says, the spark from Moreno and Barco after halftime was a great change of pace. There was a point where Moreno split two lines with a pass in behind for Dom. Mm-hmm. And yes, I remember that was beautiful. Barco's flick was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the building blocks of what this team can be in these four games. Can you actually build something with it? That's the hard part, is the quality's there. The foundations can be there. But can you get it to the point that it's stable enough to get these results? It didn't get there tonight. It looked much better. The second half, especially the first flurry with Moreno, with Barco coming in, it felt like a different team. It felt like a more confident team. Then you got Kubo Torres in. It felt like you had that focal point up top that you needed. It didn't build from there. It didn't get to that next level. It didn't progress. And that's where it started to feel like, okay, it's going to be a point, but there's something to build on here. And then it all washes away.
Yeah, a lot of great questions tonight that we haven't even gotten to yet, all asking us what we think about the Moreno-Barco connection. Shiva said, you know, we saw 45 minutes of it. What are your thoughts? I think we've kind of given you our general thoughts. I will say again that we saw a hint of it in the first half against Red Bulls, and I think we saw another hint of it tonight in the second half against Toronto. When that cohesion finally develops, Marcelino Moreno is going to be a problem for Atlanta United opponents. It's just so hard to develop that chemistry on the fly.
It's hard to develop the chemistry, and it's hard to get your sharpness back when you're playing with an unfamiliar team. It's one thing, as we saw teams come back from the long coronavirus break, where you're playing with familiar teammates and you're not match fit, but you're starting to develop that sharpness quicker. Marcelino Moreno has barely been on a field with these guys. That's the hardest thing here, is that he can't play as fast as he wants to because he doesn't know who's around him yet. But it was noticeable when Barco and Moreno came on, and Dom has had this situation as well. They have a different, I think, level of quality. They have a different thought process. They see the game a little bit faster. And at times, they're out of sync with the players around them. You've got to get on that same page. And they've got to find that as quickly as possible. That's going to be the challenge. And you don't have a lot of time to do it. It's going to come down to those two major training sessions on Wednesday and Thursday of this week to get this team where you want, honestly, for the stretch run.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a training session on Monday of the following week in between those two games. And that's really it until you get to preparation for decision day in Columbus.
Okay. We will come back and look ahead now to an extremely important match for Atlanta United against DC United, the team that they absolutely dominated a couple weeks ago in their best performance of the season, but now a match that Atlanta United really needs to win because they are below the playoff line with four matches to go. We'll have that coming up right after this of the Full Time Report. Atlanta United falling to Toronto tonight 1-0 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full Time Report. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Atlanta United 1-0 losers tonight to Toronto FC on the road. So again, just to kind of recap the big headline of the hour, Atlanta United with four matches to go, out of control of their playoff destiny because the two teams above them on the table have matches in hand on them. But this is not over by any stretch for Atlanta United either. They're only 1 point below the line, one spot over the line, so they only have to jump one team with four matches remaining. That is going to start Saturday with fans here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against DC United. DC tonight dressed only 18 players. You can dress 20. They dressed only 18 in their 2-1 road win at Cincinnati. That was a big, big win for them. Chris Adui at Sim and Donovan Pines were their goal scorers
That's
tonight.
Some unlikely goal scorers,
no
right there.
No doubt
for
about
DC
that,
United.
Right? No doubt about that. You know, so they're playing better, but that's a team that Atlanta United thoroughly dominated in their home park recently to the tune of a 4-0 win.
That's a team that is playing for their interim manager, Chad Ashton, who has been there for a long time. Not as long combined player-manager as Ben Olsen, but pretty close. Chad Ashton is DC United through and through, and players have mentioned how they want to do this for him. I think they're also in some ways doing it for Ben Olsen because they know they let him down with their performances. And guys like Bill Hamid and others who have been at that club for a number of years know that they did not perform well enough for a legend at the club in Ben Olsen. It's a motivated team right now. It's not going to be easy. We thought that D.C. and Cincinnati would be two home games that you could never guarantee 3 points in each one, but you were banking on it. You can't bank on that with these two teams right now the way they're playing.
Well, we will see if the team sheets are submitted correctly, and players who are legally allowed to be substituted in will be substituted. We're going to be on the air Saturday at 3:30 for the Five Stripes Countdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 4 o'clock will be the kick time. There are a lot of yellows in that match tonight, but I did look it up, and D.C. Did not have any player on the tightrope tonight. In fact, Frederick Briant was the only one who was on that tightrope. No one got a fifth or an eighth yellow, so they won't have any suspensions for that match on Saturday, at least as it stands right now. Quick note before we say goodbye, by the way. This was the final offsite match in the regular season that we will call here from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, you know, we counted. We've actually had 4 different studios in this stadium this year, which is remarkable. But just an amazing job by the stadium crew here at the Benz to make this as seamless as it possibly could have been. And we are really, really appreciative of that. We're looking forward to calling some home matches coming up on Saturday. But big thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, it's made our jobs a whole lot easier in this crazy year to be able to call it from as many different corners of the stadium as we could find.
Okay, for our producer Dylan Matthews, our on-site engineer Miller Pope, now in his 15th hour of work today, and for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. Once again, Atlanta United falls to DC. They fall to Toronto tonight, 1-0, and we'll see you on Saturday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to MLS action of Our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for Our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.